Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
For Captain Kinsella, can you maybe help people understand the background nature of what this training program is and why someone from Saudi Arabia was training here?
I'll let the captain if he wants to weigh in on that.
We have a international training syllabus. We have students from several different countries that come here. They learn aviation. They become naval aviators while they're here. It's something that we've been doing for quite a while, and it's with our partner nations. It's important that the cross-pollination, the cross-training that we do with our allies is something that we've done for a long time. I mean, in World War II, we had Royal Air Force folks that were training here. There's always been international students training here because it's a good place to train, and it's a good quality training.
How many students do you have, international students?
I can't speak to the exact number of international students.
Roughly?
A couple of hundred.
So we are hearing from a commander there in Pensacola after the shooting. Last I heard, there were four deaths, but one of them was actually the shooter. I think this morning there were eight people in the hospital, two officers, law enforcement officers that were shot that were expected to recover, but we're in surgery, and now we're finding out that the shooter is a foreign national, a Saudi Arabian individual. Just real quick before we get to our guest here, Ryan, tell us what we know.
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has confirmed that the active shooter at the NAS Pensacola, the FBI is taking this over now, but the continuing investigation is that there's been no determination on whether the shooting was terror-related, but that the active shooter was a Saudi national. Four people are dead. One of those people was the shooter, and seven people are injured.
All right. Well, Gabe Pfeiffer joins us in studio.
Knowledge is power.
It's not rocket science.
Gabe, we're having fun in the 12 o'clock hour, and then we hear this is a little bit somber, and I think it's important that we cover it. But a shooting in Florida, there was a shooting at Pearl Harbor yesterday evening. So
I missed that one. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm behind on the times here.
Well, it can be hard to keep up with. And then in the midst of all of this, we have all the political nonsense taking place in Washington, D.C.
Of course, yep.
But I don't know if there's any more information that comes out of Florida, because this is developing throughout the day. It happened this morning. He was a Saudi military trainee, and he was the shooter at this Naval Academy. That's kind of, I don't know.
The reason that raises alarm bells is because if you recall, the terrorists that were responsible for 9/11 were all people who had gone through flight training much in the same way. Now, this is a different terror incident, but it was the same.
Are they calling it terror?
No, they're saying they don't know yet.
Yeah, that's
so they're
not
saying,
been determined.
Hold off.
Yeah.
Well, now to be fair, I think the 9/11 guys were taking public flight school. They weren't in a military flight school.
Right.
There is a difference in that in order to get into, you know, one of those flight programs, you have to be from an ally nation's military. So there's supposed to be at least some vetting, you know, that goes into that.
Yeah, the Fox News headline is "Terror Probed. Gunman Who Killed Three, Injured Seven at Florida Navy Station with Saudi Flight Students." So yeah. Well,
yeah. It actually makes it worse, by the way.
What's your reaction to that? Like, I hate to like jump to conclusions and say now we know this because we don't.
Well, no.
But
yeah.
the first blush reaction.
Well, there are two things that I'm thinking of right now, kind of running through my head. One being that this could put a bit of a wrench in that sharing. The level of deference that we give to Saudi nationals coming to the United States for training, just because this is, you know, kind of put a pall on it. And then the other thing I'm thinking of is that we have Saudi nationals coming to St. Louis for various types of training too.
Yeah.
So yeah, this could be a local issue too.
And we need to know more about this specific incident, specific individual.
Yes.
Certainly not everybody who would be those, you know, how you would say Saudi national in a training school, that they don't get to speak for every Saudi national in training school. But we need the information and it needs to be put out there, and we'll need to wait and see what those facts are and have them be released as.
Way to buzzkill, though. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You guys were having fun till I showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Gabe.
Did you hear the Mariah Carey?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
How'd you like that?
That was great.
Yeah.
That was excellent.
Can you sing Fantasy for us again?
No.
No.
Yeah, you can.
Nay. Everybody
please
who hears
Fantasy, baby.
Yeah, see? It's funny because when you hear that part of that Mariah Carey piece that he put together, and you hear other big song, Fantasy, everybody in their heads going, sweet, sweet fantasy. And like you, and then Ryan does it.
Lo and behold.
Just go ahead and do it.
That's Ryan honestly the it. Only other Mariah Carey song I knew.
Man, I had the Butterfly CD and the one before that that had mm-hmm. Always Be My Baby on
oh,
it.
Oh, man.
Her sales figures are unbelievable.
That was a hit.
For somebody who I know two songs, I mean, maybe if I heard another one, I'd go, I know these.
You know, Always Be My Baby.
Oh, yeah, I know Always
Be
My Baby.
Do you know why you're so obsessed with me?
Nope.
But I don't know that one. Do you know that one?
I don't know that one.
You don't know that version.
Well, actually,
come on, guys.
Maybe,
it's hard to tell.
Maybe I don't know the part of it.
Was it Meezing or was it Mariah?
I don't know.
I think for a time, she may not be anymore, but she was the best-selling artist ever. And it's like, I don't even know two or three songs
by
this
artist.
But
you know Mariah Carey.
You
might
not
know her
songs.
Right. You know the name.
Did you
just
kind
of check out of the music scene in the 90s? Because that was kind of...
No, I was totally in the music scene.
Impossible.
I was
to
just
miss.
Listening to alternative stuff.
Oh, there you go.
I was not listening to pop music.
Yeah, all right, Gabe.
Those are different.
Let's talk about something important here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got my education, Reverend Doc, in the black church. Not a joke. Because when we used to get organized on Sundays to go out and desegregate movie theaters and things like that, we'd do it through the black church. I got to admit to you, I'd go to my Catholic mass at 7:30 first, and then I'd show up in the black church. But all kidding aside, it's what got me engaged.
What's he talking about? I can't.
It sounds as though he's referencing civil rights efforts, you know, back in the day, and he was, you know, engaged in those things. But the way he tells stories is kind of weird.
The only thing I hear there is pandering. Don't even and I'm not saying it to be funny or joking or dismissive. I don't know what he's trying to do other than say, I have black friends.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's trying to prove his cred, basically. He's like, hey,
if he has it, why does he need to prove it, you know?
Well, yeah, that's usually the question.
I'm arguing with you like you're a big Joe Biden.
But no, you're exactly right in that, you know, there's a philosophy I kind of go with is, you know, the tough guys don't say they're tough. The smart guys don't say they're smart.
Alpha males don't say they're alpha males.
Exactly.
Correct.
You know, so
I'm an alpha male.
It's like I said.
So you know, people with you know, civil rights cred don't need to tout their civil rights cred. You know, I mean, if it's being questioned, I mean, when people are challenged, obviously there's, you know, people have a right to defend themselves or defend their records and things like that. But it's kind of goes with what you're saying. It falls in line with a lot of how Democrats approach black voters in that, hey, I'm just like you. I got hot sauce in my purse.
I'm so glad you're the one saying this.
Hillary
not
Clinton.
Me.
Or, you know, or AOC, mm-hmm. you know, gangsting up a little bit in the way she talks.
Well, and also to suggest, when you talk about going into the black community.
Yeah.
Where is the black community located? What's the address?
Yeah. the closest you get is the black church.
How awful. Really. Yeah, how awful is that, though?
Yeah.
I mean, to suggest that if you aren't in the predictably, I just put this right in front of the camera. If you're not in the what people would automatically assume would be the black community.
Yeah, you have to go into the inner city.
That's awful. The black community. Like, if you're not in the inner city, are you less black?
Yeah, apparently yes. Because once I moved to the suburb, I lost my black card apparently. But
says who?
I don't know who's in charge of the registration there, but I do want to talk to the manager.
And also, let me ask you, the man card, the woman card,
the
black card. Where do you swipe your card? Where do you need to take that card?
Like when? Twitter.
When do you need to show identification?
That's a good question.
Make sure that people know you're legit. And if you're asking me to show some identification, screw you. I don't need to show you nothing.
Right.
Like I don't understand how it's not just automatically assumed to be so incredibly offensive.
Yeah.
To suggest that we would be that homogenous among one specific demographic that there is just something that needs to be done or said or acted upon in order to qualify for somebody else something that you clearly possess.
You know, I think it started out as a joke. Honestly, in a lot of ways, I think a lot of the even a lot of the stereotypes that are currently now held as the requirements for being a considered a part of whatever community used to be, they used to be a joke that people across ethnic lines would share with each other as just a little, good-natured ribbing. Mm-hmm. But suddenly it became these solid block identifiers. And I think it came with the rise of identity politics.
And I was going to say social media. Like, social media
it helps.
Has made so many things so much better, but it's also made us all very worse. So here's a question. This is from if you go to facebook.com/AnnieFryShow, speaking of, let's live in the cesspool that is the Facebook Live right now.
Dive right in.
Here's a question.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Does a stable genius have to say they're a stable genius?
No.
Question for the room.
Now, like I said, when people are being questioned, they have a right to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. But that's Trump being Trump. I mean, honestly, he's also the type of guy who brags about how big his buildings are or, how rich he is or, what people say is like, I don't say this about myself, but people say it about me that I'm this and that and the other. Come on. This guy.
Yeah, it's pretty on brand.
That guy. Well, and here's another, I guess, aspect of the whole deal. There is a subset of braggarts who have some level of accomplishments to brag about.
Yes.
There are those guys who are out there talking about how, successful they are, who are really successful. They're the big mouths, the loud talkers, pick a Dilbert character, right? He's one of those guys. Right? Mm-hmm. Topper. It's like, hey, I'm not
fluent in Dilbert.
Oh, come on. Dilbert is hilarious. Scott Adams. Check him out. He's pretty cool. But there was this character where, if you said something like, oh, yeah, I ran a half marathon yesterday. He's like, and he'll come along and you can tell because he's got his arms out like this. And he's just kind of puffing himself up and he's talking really loud, of course. And he says, I ran three marathons back to back yesterday.
Yeah, sure you did.
Right.
Sure you did.
On some level, Donald Trump is a topper. He wants to. Everything is superlative. It's the biggest. It's the best. It's the most awesome. It's the best in history. And that's just kind of how it is. And you take that simply as what it is. It's him trying to be make you think better of him.
Well, let's ask the question though that his is the best way to do it, or his is better than everybody else. In some cases, it's just facts.
In some cases, it's true. Like I said, sometimes the braggart is actually bragging about something that actually is true.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. We can join with Gabe back up here in just a minute. You can go check out the Facebook Live. Also, go to 971talk.com/Annie. You can always stream us there. Check out the blogs. You go watch Nancy Pelosi yesterday lose her mind at that press conference at the end. Somebody stepped on her toes and really ticked her off. It was really something to see. Yeah, exactly. That's what it seemed like. All right. We'll be right back with that. And you can give us your phone calls, 314-241-9797. Don't go anywhere. Back in a second.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Yay. Everybody, I always say, everybody always says Friday's the best day, but you're all liars. You like Friday because it's the day before Saturday. And Saturday's really the best day. Am I wrong?
That's true.
No, I like Friday because it's full of hope for Saturday. There's more hope in a Friday than there is in a Saturday.
Which means you really like December and not Christmas.
That's right.
I have a real sadness that sets in on Christmas Day evening when I'm like, it's over.
Right. I do too.
Yeah. Yeah. The kind of deflation of the whole season, basically. Yeah. It's like, it's all, you know, there's nothing left to
look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like everything that has the hype. The hype is so much bigger than
anticipation.
The day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Sure. What really gets me is the minute on the 26th of December that I turn the radio on and whatever station I'm listening to isn't playing Christmas music
everything's
anymore.
Everything's back to...
It's back to normal.
Yeah. Naturally,
because a lot of times we're out... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's KZK here, but if we're out of town, I'll find whatever station that is and... Oh, no.
I'm 35 now, so I've lived a little bit of life. I have three kids. I've realized that the hardest thing for me in life is endings. It doesn't matter what is ending, and it doesn't really matter if it's a small thing that's ending or a big thing.
Yeah.
I will shoulder that burden. I just don't like it. Mm. I would rather something go on longer and not be as enjoyable as it was maybe, or if it's a relationship or if it's a... like a TV show. If you've invested a lot of time into watching 4 or 5 seasons or something, when it comes down to those last 3 or 4 episodes, it's like I've quit watching shows because I just don't want to know how it ends.
Oh wow,
me too.
Especially if the last episodes.
Is that real? I've done that before too. Yeah.
If the last episodes are terrible, it's even worse. Lost.
I liked Lost.
I heard that coming.
I liked Lost. I liked the ending. I'm the one.
I think no, it's 50-50. If you watched it all the way through, especially if you watched it on TV for 6 years.
And I would never do that.
Which you did not do, but I did.
It was over for a year.
It was all mystery, 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 mystery. Ooh, what's gonna be the conclusion of the mystery?
Don't tell people.
And then at the end,
don't say it.
Let's just wrap up the characters and make them feel good.
No, see, the thing about, and I'm going to say this for the people who may not have watched Lost yet. I mean, if you're gonna be mad at me for saying Lost spoilers.
Oh, it's 10
here.
Years old.
But I will say, for the people who haven't watched it and would go back and watch it, I remember getting maybe to the last season and maybe I post something on social media and people started commenting about how terrible it ended. And that in and of itself tainted the way I saw it. I think the reason I liked it is because
your expectations were low.
Well, no, they weren't low. I was kind of pissed that people were like, it sucks. And I'm like, can I, like, they were telling me, begging me not to watch the last episodes
to end it.
I was like, why would I do that? And I feel as though we get, and it's in our business to have the conversations about it, but I feel like we work so hard to, when we weigh in on these things, to influence people before they, if you don't watch it in real time, you do not get to decide for yourself.
That's true.
There's so much influence that goes into it. And I'm stubborn and bullheaded. And I was like, I'm going to like this whether anybody likes it or not,
even if I'm
the only one. And I actually thought that there was a really interesting spiritual end to it that I took from it. And I know that's a very unpopular opinion, but it's mine.
It's not that unpopular. At the time, there were a lot of people that loved the ending. Here's the key. If you watch shows because you want to have relationships with the characters and you get really attached to the characters, you'll love the end of Lost. If you watch shows because you're a plot person, you will hate the end of Lost.
A nerd?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. I like people, not plots, so I liked it. Ryan.
Ooh, people.
We're having an interesting conversation.
I don't care for people.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. I was listening. We were talking with Gabe off of the air before we came on here, and you said that you just about your beautiful daughter who just bought a vehicle.
Yes,
and she's shouldering the responsibility for this.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 22.
22. Yep. She should be.
That's the time for it.
So tell us what you said that you helped her purchase a car, and I said.
Right.
Does she have a financial responsibility in this, or did you really help her?
Right, and the thing is, my intention was that it was going to be 100% on her, and it largely is. I helped out with the down payment a little bit, but I let her know that that was a loan, so she's going to pay me back for that. So yes, she will have paid, you know, when all said and done, for her own car through her own effort with her own job.
Mm-hmm. So good feeling,
honey,
yes.
Job.
My question to you though is, as a father who can provide for his daughter in whatever capacity you can, when she's 22 and she's buying a car, she needs to know how to buy a car. She needs to know the stress and anxiety that you can make your payment this month, but there's going to be another one next month. And those months are going to continue to pile up.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, your student loans are due.
Yeah. Yeah. And rent and all that. Yep. Is it if you can provide that help for her, is it hard to restrain yourself and hold back from giving? Because that's what you've done her whole life.
Yeah. I mean, on one level, yes, obviously, because, you know, as a parent, you want to just kind of take care of your kid for the rest of their life, essentially, and just let it be. But
some people do.
Yeah. And some people do that. And that's kind of how you end up with some of these idiots on the Internet.
laying it out there.
That's just where those babies come from.
That's where they come from.
But, where do babies come from, Gabe?
Ryan's new podcast.
Where do babies
subscribe
come
to the
from?
Andy Fry Show. This is where he finds out where they come from.
We're going to talk to spiritualists, medical experts, and people of every caliber to find
Ryan's
out where do babies
going.
Come from.
Ryan! Stop!
But, I mean, internet babies are made in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. But, yes, so the issue, you know, that I'm always confronted with, you know, as we kind of transitioned out from the, you know, we are your sole protection and caretaker and all that stuff to we're your helpers or your advisors
guides,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're your guides. And making that transition wasn't as difficult for me as it still is for my wife. I guess partially because I started out kind of with the same mentality as my dad basically had, which was pretty much, when you're 18, you need to figure your crap out.
And you'll notice you said your crap and not our crap or
right.
my crap.
Right. So, I mean,
this has become a you problem.
Exactly. Suddenly.
I think that sounds like a crap problem.
No, dad was serious. He's like, you know, you're going to go to college. You're going to, know, get a job. Go to trade school, get a
you're
job.
Be a rocket scientist.
Or you're going to
be a failure.
Or you're going into the military. Or you're going into the military, but you're not going to stay up in here.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to be. So my dad
said the same thing in a different way. You ain't going to stay up in here.
Now, he didn't say it exactly in those words, but he was very direct in that you had to take responsibility for your own life.
Put the burden on you.
Exactly.
But he would have caught you if you fell hard enough or been there to help you back up.
Well, and one of the things he made clear was that, you know, he was still home base. So if crap hit the fan and, you know, I ran into some trouble or, you know, or like on some level I did in the middle of school, I ran out of money because MIT is expensive.
Yeah.
And
I had the same problem.
I came home for a semester. I came home for a semester and worked a little bit. But he's home base. He made clear that as long as you're doing something positive, moving in a positive direction towards your own independence, here's where you can come back to. Here's where you can start. So I wanted to be that, and I kind of started out, you know, my life as a parent that way, just knowing that there is going to be an end to this stage of my relationship.
Yeah. Well, 314-241-9797 if you want to weigh in this conversation, because I'm a mom and I have three young ones, and my oldest is 9. He'll be 10 in a few weeks. Oh my gosh. I haven't said that out loud yet.
Ooh,
Hold on.
The double digits.
I need a minute. But when you're holding your little babies, and my youngest is 3, when you're holding your little babies and you've had 2 glasses of wine and you start thinking about the future and you're just like holding them and they're sleeping and you're like, oh, I just can't, if I hold you tight enough, will you please stay little? And then they wake up and they're like, what's wrong with mom? I've just been hitting the Bear Hollow wine again.
Mom's on the sauce.
Yeah. But you, when they're little, you can't even imagine.
No.
Saying, go buy a car. You need my help. I'm happy to help you. But this is on you.
Yeah.
You cannot imagine that. You want to do everything for them. I've also noticed that the implication of doing that for your first wanes by the time you get to your third.
That's what I feel.
You're like, get up, kid, and take yourself to bed.
Yeah. Keep in mind, I am number 7 of my parents' kids.
Of eight.
Yeah. So the thing, I think that might have had something to do with it too.
Yeah,
by the time I was like, hey, bro.
But I have noticed, as I have gotten older and my kids have gotten older, the things that I thought were going to break me to pieces as a parent, they still cut, but you just become more ready for it over time. So like I'm thinking right now, my son stands up to my chin.
Mm.
He can stop now. He's a big 9-year-old, but he's going to be
Yeah.
He's gonna be taller than me.
He will.
And he still comes up to me and wants to hug me. Mm-hmm. He'll just walk up to me and throw his arms around me. And every time he does that, I think, when does this stop?
Yeah.
Like, this will make me cry. But
oh, no.
There's going to be a time where that happens for the last time.
Yeah, and you're not going to know.
And I'm not going to know it's the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Life is cruel. What is wrong with this picture?
No. We just ruined it.
Yes.
I don't want to make you not cry, but.
You're going to make me cry, but it's going to be
no
anger.
Your kids are still going to hug you when they're adults?
Not like that, though. Not like they do when they're little. Not like when you
different.
Walk in the door and they go, Mommy!
Their relationship changes.
It's the best part
completely.
Of their day in that oh, moment. Yeah. And then they'll have another best part of their day because they're little and things are really exciting or really tragic any time of the day. And it can shift one way or the other. But that's, you know, it just changes. But then you go see them and you see them on a different coast and they're buying a car and you're just filled with pride for that because they're doing this thing and they're making decisions and they're taking on responsibility. You know, I just feel like we talk about politics and political parties and stuff on a regular basis on this show. If we would focus more on that,
like real stuff,
then how some elected official is going to fix the future of this country, if only you elect them, what kind of egotistical baloney sausage is that to sell that bill of goods to the American people?
Yeah.
Where are we seeing in our country right now an emphasis on the family and on raising kids to be responsible adults so that they can then raise kids to be responsible adults so that they can then raise kids to be responsible adults and somebody can finally tell Ryan Wiggins where babies come from.
There's some guy out there who loves bologna sausage who's so mad at you every time you say that.
I blame my mom. That's what she said. My kids are like, oh, that hurts. She's like, oh, bologna sausage.
But
and then they laugh, and then I'm like, Mom.
One of our account executives was meeting with a bologna sausage factory about doing lives with you.
I can do a whole segment on bologna sausage. I'm the place to go.
Hey, we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, Democrat bologna sausage. Here you go.
Yeah.
And just roll it.
But how can we raise kids to know what that responsibility looks like and feels like in that sometimes you're going to fail and have to pick yourself back up again and try your hardest when we have presidential candidates up on a stage saying, actually, let's have everything happen for free.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
politicians shouldn't be the ones doing it.
Exactly.
It should be the parents let your kids fail, but then be them there for them to help them get back up.
Well, let's take Katie's first question here. What can we do?
Yeah.
What could be done? And maybe you don't agree. Maybe you think that we do need to put more burden on the government to provide for these needs and necessities. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Let's have a discussion about it when we come back. You can also join us on the Facebook page. I see some conversation taking place here as well. 314-241-9797. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Your discussion with us when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Interesting conversation that we were having just before we go to the break. Gabe comes in here and then he does everything he can every week to try to make me cry. Talking about his baby girls.
Oh, cutting onions.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Katie.
Gabe, this is a studio.
Katie, that was not.
Stop cutting your onions.
I love it. Get a hold of yourself.
Cutting onions.
For a little saute.
It's funny to me because we've got Liz and Tim here on the phone. We're going to get to their calls in just a second. But while we're talking about how the focus of our country, I think my opinion is listening to Gabe tell the story about how he's helping his daughter buy a car, but she's buying the car and she's 22 and she should be and she's living on her own. And she should have these responsibilities and she should know what stress is, like the financial stress of not having enough money.
Mm-hmm.
It'll teach you to value your money.
That's all you.
Yes. Enjoy, and it's hard for some mamas, maybe also Janet.
Yes,
and some wives.
to loosen the reins a little bit. I think it's hard for dads sometimes, too.
Sometimes.
I think it can be hard for both.
I just internalize my pain.
Yeah, exactly. Just eat pints of ice cream at night, exactly. Rocking back and forth in my chair next to my fireplace.
Silently.
Liz and Tim, hold on, I'm going to get to you here in just a second. But we just got this message from Philip, and it's to the Facebook page. Got to make sure I don't say some of these words that he wrote. Good grief. Is there ever going to be a time where you guys aren't whining about other people and just talking about things like policy? I can say anyone is a doo-doo head. I'm not fixing that. That's what he said.
Oh.
Just as well as Trump. But all I hear is dumb stuff about Biden this and that. Here is a legit question I bet you will not even try to answer on air.
Ooh.
What can be done to stop mass shootings other than fear-mongering and bulletproof vests? Isn't it a rational thing to think that maybe things like stricter background checks or at least not have military-grade equipment in the hands of these loons could help? I know it would not, I know it would not have helped the last two shootings, as they were military people to begin with. But really, just being all pissy and just being nothing but a Trump pity party isn't giving me a reason to vote for him next election. I'm not dumb, and I see how he acts, and in real time. But really, why should I vote for a guy who curls up like a three-year-old and abandons a NATO meeting over some jokes at his expense? I mean, who cares? Can this guy just talk about policy and leave the teenage Valley Girl stuff in the wind? Can he not just be a man? Well, first of all, I think it's rude of you to imply something about his gender and that his actions were somehow definitive or less definitive than what a man is, because not all men are the same. And if you were woke, you would know that, Philip. But I would also add, there's a lot going on here. And before I get to Liz and Tim, and then I let Gabe take us home. We're talking about in this last segment what it means to teach our kids to be responsible.
Yeah.
We're talking about what it means to be good parents. We're talking about the fact that pretty much the best parenting that was not far enough away from the microphone.
Popping Ryan open a can.
Ryan just walked over like 6 feet away from his microphone, bent over to open his Dr. Pepper, and it was like. Anyway, thanks.
That's commercial.
It's not enough to suggest that parenting and an emphasis on family values and compassion and care and love and investing in our children, that's where we fix this problem.
Yes.
And don't give me any baloney sausage new law that some criminal is. You just said in here about guns, about military-grade equipment, it wouldn't really help for the last two shootings. The problem is a brokenness in society, and no government is going to fix it. No law is going to fix it. No politician is going to fix it. We have to fix it.
Yeah.
And bickering back and forth about your party's laws and my party's laws and orange man bad. You know what? I'm not here defending the president, but he's a heck of a lot better than what your party put up in 2016. And from the looks of it, I think he's a lot better than what we're going to see in 2020.
Only five more years, guys.
Oh, my
only
heavens.
Five more years.
Yes.
Relax. But here's the thing. You know, besides kind of the silliness of the military grade weaponry comment, which I always find hilarious because you have no idea the difference between what's on the civilian market versus what's on the military market. It's the idea that, like you said, the government can do some sort of fixing. There's the universal background checks or this magic law or that magic law that's going to make all this stuff go away. You know, there was a period of time where civilians could own automatic weapons, and we didn't. The only mass shooting that happened was a gangster shooting up another gangster, and that's what got rid of automatic weapons. So prior to that, you didn't have kids, you know, taking their hunting rifles that they used to go hunt varmints to school and shooting them up. They'd take them to school and show them to each other.
Yeah.
So guess what the difference is between now and then? It's a difference in what. You know, the society. It's a difference in how the kids are being taught. It's a difference in how parenting is being accomplished.
And what we value.
And what we value. Exactly. And who we depend on to save society.
Yeah.
Right now, we've got all these Democrat contenders saying that if you give me your vote, the best thing you can do is use your vote to give to me, and then I will save you, and I will save your children, and I will protect everything. But what we're saying is the most powerful thing that you have is every minute that you spend with your child. That's the power that you have. Don't give it away to a politician and expect them to fix the world for your children. Fix your child, help other people fix their children, and then, you know, hopefully we can, you know, pull ourselves out of
this. And we're never going to eradicate the brokenness.
No.
We're never going to.
Not completely.
Government is not my God.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be.
Yeah.
And no matter how good of a politician you are, how great your policies are, there's still going to be brokenness.
Yep.
So we were talking about how to invest in our kids, how to invest in our future. And we got that message. And I think it's important to have this discussion so that we can talk about how we can make these things better. So I want to get to some of these phone calls here. Liz, thank you for holding and thank you for calling the show. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. What you said really touched me as far as when your kids are going to stop being, you know, available. My son's 14. Every night, even though he plays his games, we say, you know, I love you, give you a hug, every day when I drop them off at school. I say I love them. Just be mindful when you do things with them, like playing games, be present. So I think that's the biggest piece.
Liz, I hear you.
Yep.
I hear you. You got me, my eyes watering again.
Don't stop.
No, I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks. You never know when it ends, so.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. Liz,
that's
hang
the
in
onions.
There. Thank you.
Those are the onions.
Yeah.
Man. Just
get them
relax.
Out of here.
I'm sorry.
I'm working.
I'm sorry.
Cutting them.
Okay.
It was such a dumb joke, but I loved it.
Tim, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm great. How are you?
Doing fine and dandy. Let me tell you, I believe that if you do too much, then you're not providing them with growth. If you, I was a teacher at the college level. I could see the students that didn't have any skin in the game, so to speak, where they had somebody paying all of it all the time, and then the effort wasn't there. The motivation wasn't there. So I'm all for trying to make college more affordable, but if you give it to them, then they're going to take a look at it like that, like it's free, so what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that, would those kids, if they didn't have anything invested, would, was it possible for them to shift on their own, or majority of the time is it, you know, they're here, this is the next thing they were supposed to do on their list in life, and they're kind of mailing it in, or does life have a way of, of finding them anyway?
They wouldn't show up for class. They would, you know, wait till the end of the semester to do stuff. And then, you know, then they'd say, how come I'm failing? And I'd say, because you didn't do the work and you didn't, and you didn't come to class.
Would they be shocked?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they would. And then they, you know, like say, but why? And then they go talk to the dean, and then I have to explain to the dean because they didn't do the work.
Yeah.
And because they didn't show up for class.
Pretty simple.
And then there was right. Exactly. And the thing is, I put myself through college. I worked the three jobs during the summer to make sure that I had enough to go back the following fall, because that's what I had to do. My parents weren't rich, but if I wanted to go to college, I did what I had to do.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate me having to do that. I know what it is to work. Money, I had to learn how to handle my money and make it all stretch. And fear is an excellent motivator at times. If you see that fear...
yeah.
And then you feel that feeling like, oh crap. All of a sudden you start to realize that maybe some of the things you're doing aren't smart, and then you need to do the smart stuff. So I've got four kids, and I've tried to help all of them, except that I also noticed that when I helped too much, it came back and didn't mean much. When I put down a down payment for one of my kids to get into an apartment, and he 2 months later, when he didn't pay the rent and he bailed, you know, it's like, well, he didn't put out any money.
Yeah,
his thing was, I'm not out anything. Right. Exactly.
Tim,
so
yeah, thank you for the phone call. We got to run, but you make a great point,
okay,
especially from a parent and from a teacher's perspective. So thanks for giving us a call today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Talk to you again soon.
In the game.
It's the, you know, I'm listening to him. I'm thinking it's the question mark. Parents are used to putting the period on the sentences for their kids. When you put the question mark on it, that means that something could happen that you're not 100% sure what it might be yet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll be good because your kid's a good kid. They're a smart kid. They'll figure it out. But when the kid has to think for themselves that maybe it could be bad.
Yeah.
That's when they make the good decision.
Yep. As a parent, it takes trust.
Yeah.
You have to have trust or else you can't do it. You keep your hands on it.
Rob Kramer is going to come in here, and I don't know what's going to happen because I never do, but it's going to be great. We'll be back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.